All right, we are starting the second half of the morning session. I should remind you that the afternoon session does not take place in this room, but in the convention room close to the reception. You have all passed through it several times. That's where the afternoon meeting takes place. Now, for the second half of the morning session, we are focusing on some aspects of Duke Ellington in Denmark. We have two items on the program, and they have been switched as compared to the written program. So we will start with Erik Moserholm talking about Ellington bass players and their inspiration to the Danish bass tradition. Maybe we should ask for a bit of silence. And Erik Moserholm himself is very qualified to do that. He is one of our leading Danish bass players, has been so since the 1950s. And he wrote a book with Oscar Pettiford about bass techniques. And continuing his speak, we will hear two of our leading younger bass players, Jesper Lundgaard and Mads Vinding, both internationally known. They will play some live demonstration from the book that Erik Moserholm did with Oscar Pettiford. And then for the second half of this session, we will hear about the Ellington tape collection, which Mercer Ellington donated to Radio Denmark some years ago. So first, Erik Moserholm will be on the stage, and he will wants to start with some music.
Duke Ellington's recording of Echoes of the Jungle from 1931, made a profound impression on the father of Danish bass playing, Niels Foss, particularly because of man brought bass playing. Niels Foss was on guitar at that point for the Danish violinist Svend Asmussen, 1933 till 34, but then switched to the bass at the age of 18. He himself asserts that he should never have taken it up, as he was too small and his fingers far too short for the big, physically demanding fingering. Nevertheless, it was Niels Foss whose bass brought vitality to Danish rhythm groups and showed that the instrument could be played solo. Not unaffected by the fact that he was really a guitarist, because he was an autodidact and simply transferred his guitar technique to the bass. Incidentally, this is characteristic of quite a few contemporary young Danish bass players. You will hear one of them later. But although he could play bass solos, he was primarily interested in the rhythm function And for him, the greatest possible prize came from two black trick cyclists whose act he played for. They said, "You play like the colored boys, not duk, 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 but zoom, zoom, zoom." Tiger Act, once again, from November 35, 1935, because from October 39 till autumn, no, it's something else. It was Svend Asmussen sextet, the Svend Asmussen sextet from 35, with Nils Foss on the bass. And then, from October 39 till autumn 41, Jimmy Blanton played with Ellington and revolutionized bass playing. I would like to play a well-known solo just to continue the history, because nobody in Denmark knew about the duets Jimmy Blanton did with Duke Ellington in starting in 39 and continuing the 2 years. Jimmy Blanton became the father of modern jazz bass playing, but in Denmark we heard very little about him during the Second World War, as the country was occupied by the Germans, who wanted to see jazz forbidden altogether. The duets came to Denmark at the end of the 40s. Nils Foss was therefore not influenced by Jimmy Blanton. He was far more interested in Slam Stewart. But the Danish composer and pianist Børge Henriksen did the duet we heard yesterday. Erik Wiedemann told us about it. But it was a revolution in Danish bass playing, the duet from 42, Prelude in C, or Preludium i C in Danish, because it wasn't allowed to use English titles during the war. In Passage Work, Nils Foss uses his own invention, or trick, as he calls it, a thump pizzicato technique that I have only come across in Denmark. I used it myself for a while and passed it on to some of my pupils. As early as the early 40s, I was an eager student of Niels Foss bass playing and, as probably the only person, studied his bass, jazz bass course. The first in Scandinavia, it was published on a Tempo edition as a correspondence course in 12 booklets in the mid of the 1940s. Until I was 18, I lived in a small town on the Danish mainland, far from Copenhagen, and only arrived in Copenhagen in 1948. I held the correspondence course very dear because lessons in jazz bass playing were hard to come by in the province. Even though the course was practically incomprehensible and very difficult to get anything out of at all, nor have I ever met anyone else who owned the booklet, not even Niels Foss, whom I met for the first time in 1990 when he played at a gallery opening in Copenhagen. Since 1952, he has lived in Switzerland, which he only leaves reluctantly. I presented him with the correspondence course when he turned 75 last year. Here's his thump trick in a solo from his composition, Kortbølge Blues in Danish. Short Wave Blues from summer 1942. The drummer Uffe Båd, he went to the States 2 years out. Duke Ellington heard Niels Foss in 1950 at the Chisito Dance Hall, Bern, Switzerland, where he was playing with the Danish trombonist Peter Rasmussen and his band. The repertoire included Ellington's Rain Check. Duke Ellington was very enthusiastic about Niels Foss bass playing and asked if he would play with the orchestra. Niels Foss, who has already been good in finding fault with himself, didn't think he was qualified because he was a poor sight reader. So he said no, but in gratitude to Duke Ellington, he gave him the score of his composition Rain from 1942, inspired of Ellington. Only later did he discover that Ellington bassists hardly ever used sheet music, and that sight reading was quite unimportant. I can only confirm this through my experiences with the Ellington Orchestra scores in connection with the radio concerts. The tradition continues with his son Mercer Ellington, two Danish bass players, Ole Rasmussen and Goofy Pallesen, have toured where the other musicians hit the few bass parts they had to see whether they knew the Ellington repertoire properly. ¶¶ From November 45 till March 48, Oscar Pettiford played with Ellington. This recording was made in 1946, 5 months after Pettiford came to the Ellington band. And it's the only recording of Tiptoe Tapic. It shows Oscar Pettiford as worthy of the Jim Blanton mantle. But before that, he had made his mark on my musical awareness as a bass with Dizzy Gillespie and Don Byers in 43, 44, with the new bop style that enchanted me. It's said that Oscar Pettiford tried to get Ellington to take Dizzy and Don Byers into the orchestra instead of some of the old Ellington players, but he failed. Ellington told him to mind his bass and leave everything else to him. I got the bop shock in 1949 with Dizzy Gillespie's big band in Copenhagen and got together with fellow enthusiasts, including Danish sax player Max Bryl, whose orchestra won competition in 1950 with cutting of a disc as first prize. I was 20 years old. On my arrival in Copenhagen, I joined the classical orchestra at the Student Music Association. Its conductor could see and hear that my technique was marred by the lack of teaching available in my hometown. Apart from a few tips from a bass playing greengrocer for whom I ran errands in return, and the Niels Fosk correspondence course, I had taught myself all I knew. So the conductor sent me to the leader of the bass section of the Royal Danish Symphony Orchestra, Oscar Hegner. It changed my life. The same Oscar Hegner also influenced Oscar Pettiford, another autodidact. Oscar Pettiford thought the notes and played what he thought, with no basis in any pedagogical system and seldom practiced alone. I'm rehearsing when I'm playing, he said. Inspired by Oscar Hegner's teaching method, a thrilling new bass epoch sounded forth with Niels Henning Ørsted Petersen in the lead in the 1960s. But before that story, here's an example of Oscar Pettiford's fantastic ability to compose theme created out of the bass playing. His themes lie beautifully for the bass, but at the same time they are so melodious that many other instrumentalists enjoy playing them. With Oscar Pettiford, we've got a genuine bass composer. Thank you. recording from 55. From 48 to 54, I took lessons with Oscar Hegner, who was creating his new fingering technique for the bass at the time. His teaching method was published in 1950 as a course for the bass. Though he kept embellishing his ingenious idea, and as a result, my copy was covered in additions and changes. But his idea was creative and a significant background for the Danish bass tradition that has bred so many bass players of international class. For the classical bassists, it has not meant much. To explain why, I shall give you a very brief account of traditional bass teaching, also to explain Oscar Pettiford's interest in the Hegner method. It's to do with the left hand grip. In the German school, first, second, and fourth fingers are used with a half tone between each stopping position. In the Italian, first, third, and fourth finger are used. Oscar Hegner used first, second, third, and fourth fingers. This yield more tones without having to move your hand, because each position had a scale. To do this, to this end, he systemized the positions of the hand on the fingerboard so that all the notes of a scale can be reached from one position. Every scale was given its own position. That is why Danish bass players play more across the strings than those of the German or Italian school, who rush up and down the fingerboard more. But Hegner's technique requires a lot of finger power if the sound is to be good if you are playing acoustic bass. So classical players don't use the Oscar Hegner technique, but jazz bassists began to amplify their basses electrically in the mid-50s. As a result, less strength was needed for generating the notes, and the strings could be set closer to the fingerboard. In other words, Oscar Hegner's system was ideal for the electrically amplified bass. In 1949, Oscar Pettiford took up the cello after breaking his arm. The cello doesn't require as much strength in the arm as a bass, but he tuned it like a bass in fourth, while the cello is usually tuned in fifth. And on the cello, he used all four fingers without being aware of the kinship with Oscar Hegner's system. Here he is as a cellist with a bassist who admired Ellington, and we have heard about Charles Mingus in a recording from 52 of I'm Beginning to See the Light. Thank you. Yes, he tuned the cello like the bass in quarter. While Oscar Pettiford was living in Copenhagen from summer 1959 to September 60, he was very interested in electric amplification for the bass. He brought the best amplification equipment we have ever heard. My own, a Danish origin, was far poorer. There was still a long way to go to descent amplification. Of course, I asked Oscar Pettiford all kinds of questions, also so I could pass on the experiences to the many pupils I had at that time. The result was that we got the urge to publish a bass course together. Oscar Pettiford presented a proposal, but for want of a teaching method in his own technique, he studied Oscar Hegner's course, about which he became so enthusiastic that his proposal was practically a word-for-word copy. When I pointed this out for him, he laughed, and we agreed that I would take care of the teaching exercises and the pertaining explanations while he took care of the etudes and themes. The result was jazz bass phasing, which came out in 1962, a year and a half after his death on the 8th of September 60. Soon after his death, I dedicated an EP to Oscar Pettiford, Two Oscars to Oscar, with a version of Bohemia After Dark, partly inspired by Charles Mingus, whose quintet with Eric Dolphy and others was the house orchestra of the first jazz festival in Antibes-sur-en-Lepin in July 60. The festival also arranged a competition among orchestras and instrumentalists from 19 countries, at which the best in Europe on each instrument was chosen. I won the bass prize with Charles Mingus in the front row of the audience, and the meeting with Eric Dolphy led to recordings with my trio in Copenhagen the following year. But my Mingus-inspired arrangement of Oscar Pettiford's Bohemia After Dark in a nine-man arrangement became the start of the Danish radio jazz group in September 61 with Oscar Pettiford's Now See How You Are as its signature tune and Bohemia After Dark in its first program. The group existed for 25 years. Once jazz bass phasing was written, I said goodbye to teaching. I gave my notice at school. I stopped giving bass lessons after having had nearly 100 pupils in 10 years. The first person I turned down was a father who rang to ask if I'd teach his 12 years old son. I told him of my decision and referred him to my own teacher, Oscar Hegner. Niels Henning Ørsted Petersen, for it was he, thus became one of the great Danish bass teacher's last pupils. And after his death, he bought the bass all of us had learned to play on. Such is the beautiful way in which the Danish bass tradition is being kept alive. Niels Henning never heard Oscar Pettiford live. He was too young and he wasn't allowed to go to Jazz Club Montmartre at that time. He was 12 years when Oscar died. So he never heard him live, but he met him once at the men's room. He was out there and Oscar had heard him playing only one number. And then Oscar said something to Niels Henning in English. Niels Henning didn't understand it. It was a meeting of Niels Henning Ørsted Petersen and Oscar Pettiford, the only one. But it also meant the beginning of a new epoch in Danish jazz bass playing, which deserves just as long a telling as the story I've just recounted. Niels Henning joined the Radio Jazz group in 63, 14 years old. I was a conductor, and in a period we did two bass playing in the Radio Jazz group. And then Niels Henning took over, of course, and I spoiled my finger in 66, and then I started as a man, program man on the radio for 26 years.